want to take a look at a couple of kings in the Bible here and just see if we can glean just a couple of basically simple lessons that we all should know as Christians. Nothing, you know, nothing major, nothing real deep and doctrinal here this morning, just some good practical advice. And if you will, open your Bibles to 2 Chronicles chapter 29. 2 Chronicles chapter 29. And in 2 Chronicles 29, we're talking about King Hezekiah. Now, Hezekiah is one of the good kings of Judah, and we'll learn a little bit about him as we go along here this morning. But 2 Kings chapter 29, verse 1, Hezekiah began to reign when he was 25 years old, and he reigned 29 years in Jerusalem, and his mother's name was Abijah, the daughter of Zechariah. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord according to all that David his father had done. He, in the first year of his reign, in the first month, opened the doors of the house of the Lord and repaired them. And he brought in the priests and the Levites and gathered them together into the east street and said unto them, "Hear me, ye Levites, sanctify now yourselves and sanctify the house of the Lord God of your fathers and carry forth the filthiness out of the holy place. For our fathers have trespassed and done that which was evil in the eyes of the Lord our God, and have forsaken him, and have turned away their faces from the habitation of the Lord, and turned their backs. Also they have shut up the doors of the porch, and put out the lamps, and have not burned incense, nor offered burnt offerings in the holy place unto the God of Israel. Wherefore the wrath of the Lord was upon Judah and Jerusalem, and he hath delivered them to trouble and astonishment and to hissing, as ye see with your eyes. For lo, our fathers have fallen by the sword, and our sons and our daughters and our wives are in captivity for this. Now it is in my heart to make a covenant with the Lord, God of Israel, that his fierce wrath may turn away from us. My sons, be not now negligent, for the Lord hath chosen you to stand before him, to serve him, that ye should minister unto him and burn incense." Then the Levites arose and they go through, and we'll look at it here in a little bit. But a great revival happens under the reign of King Hezekiah. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we come before you once again here on a Sunday morning. Lord, we are grateful that you have given your life on Calvary's cross, as we sang about here a little bit earlier. Father, we are grateful that all we need to do is trust you as our Savior, and our sins can be forgiven. As we take a few moments now to open up your book and to look at the lives of some of your people, Father, I do pray that you would help us to glean some things that would help us in our own lives. Father, help us to find some good things to cling to, and certainly some bad things that we can avoid. And I just ask that you would bless each and every person that's here this morning. Father, I'm grateful that they took the time to show up and to be at church, and I pray that you would bless them for that. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, Hezekiah, like I said before, is one of Judah's good kings. The king before him and the king after him, not so much so. But Hezekiah rears up, he comes to the throne, and he is a king that has quite the lineage, and he does a lot of good things. He's 25 years old, a mere 25 years old when he starts reigning. Can you imagine taking over as head of a country at 25 years old? And folks, it said there the first thing that he did was that he went out and he opened the doors of the house of the Lord. You know what that means? That means those doors had been shut. And we'll look at that a little bit later in the message. We'll see that his father was a wreck and shut the doors. But one of the first things that Hezekiah did when he came to power is he opened the doors of the house of the Lord. He called those Levites in. And brethren, he, in the first month, did more to serve God than his father had his whole career. You know what that shows you, and that shows me, young folks even. Even a young person, if you set your heart and your mind to it, even a young person can come up and do something very mighty for the Lord God. Hezekiah turned the course of the nation of Israel completely around, and he was a mere 25 years old. Now, there were some kings that were even younger that did the same thing. I mean, Josiah wasn't very old when he started either. But it's good to know, it is good to know, folks, that any one of us has the ability, if we set our heart to that, if we set our mind and our heart towards the Lord God, any one of us has the ability to be used by God to change not just ourselves, our family, but our country. The Lord can put people in a position to do that, and the Lord raised up Hezekiah for that very purpose. It is an amazing thing what Hezekiah did. Like I said, the first year, the first month of his reigns, he immediately goes and opens the doors of the house of the Lord. Now think about this, and we'll talk more about his father here in a second, but his whole life, he was raised with everything contrary to that. And he comes into power and immediately steps up to the task and starts worshiping and serving the Lord God of Israel. That's something to think about. You know what that means, folks? That means you cannot blame your parents for your bad spiritual life. Amen? They can be the most horrible parents in the whole world, and still the Lord would grant you the ability to step up like Hezekiah did. Amen? It means that the Lord really does hold you and me individually responsible for our walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. And I understand things in the past have an influence on us and they hinder us. And sometimes they're heavy weights and burdens that we have to bear. But the bottom line is, regardless of what's happened in our past, regardless of what's happened in your past, the Lord expects you, when He puts you in that spot, for you to stand up on your own two feet and open the doors of the house of the Lord. And we could preach a lot about, you know, coming to church. That's a pretty good opening, isn't it? But the Lord expects you to open some doors when it comes to serving the Lord. Brother Josh just opened the door back there. See, he's living godly. Listen, not only did he open the doors, he called those priests in, got them sanctified, and we'll look at that a little bit, but he also had them restore the vessels of the house of the Lord. I mean, it wasn't just lip service. It wasn't just one little, you know, show up on occasion and do some spiritual thing to make everybody think that he was doing good. Hezekiah, excuse me, had something in his heart that drove him to serve his God with a pure heart. Now, he made mistakes along the way, and many of you know that. He made some, you know, some errors. But listen, he said there in verse 10, look at it, Second Chronicles chapter 29, verse 10. Now, it is in mine heart to make a covenant with the Lord God of Israel, that his fierce wrath may turn away from us. Oh, folks, you don't know the impact you can have if you set your heart to make a covenant with the Lord. You don't know what kind of fierce wrath you can have turn away from the people that are around you. King Hezekiah set his heart to serve the Lord. And listen, it delayed God's wrath for quite a while, because the Lord was pretty fed up with what was going on. You know what it just takes? It takes somebody standing up and just in their hearts deciding to do right. Amen? And I don't know if your sphere of influence is small, maybe one or two people, or if it's large. Maybe you've got hundreds of people that you can influence, or thousands. I don't know. But I tell you what I do know. I know this. I know that if you would set your heart to do right, like Hezekiah set his heart to do right, the Lord can use you to change the course of friends, of a family, of a nation. Amen? Amen. Listen, Hezekiah, if you take a look at chapter 30, and I don't have time to read all the account, but I do want to hit enough of it so that you kind of get the gist of it. chapter 30, Hezekiah sent, so he's got this revival going. He's found out that he can't hold the Passover on the first month like he wants to do because the priests aren't consecrated. So he has the priests consecrate themselves as quickly as they can. And he sets up to hold this feast, this Passover feast, in the second month. That's as quick as he can get it done. And the priests all work at it. And Hezekiah, listen, Hezekiah is so excited about what he's got going on that he sets down in chapter 30, he starts sending out letters to all the rest of the nation of Israel. Now, if you remember, the nation of Israel is divided into two main camps. There's the 10 northern tribes and the 2 southern tribes. Hezekiah is king of these 2 southern tribes down here. He's in Jerusalem. The 10 northern tribes left under Rehoboam and Jeroboam back at Solomon's time frame. And they're kind of their own thing, and they've had a lot of trouble, and they've had, you know, they've not followed the Lord their God, and most of their kings were terrible, and they've had bad influence. Hezekiah sets out, and he's so thrilled about what he's doing, he invites everybody to this Passover. Take a look at chapter 30 here. It says, "And Hezekiah sent to all Israel and Judah, 10 northern tribes and the 2 southern ones, and wrote letters also to Ephraim and Manasseh," okay, on the other side of the Jordan, "that they should come to the house of the Lord at Jerusalem and keep the Passover unto the Lord God of Israel. For the king had taken counsel, and his princes and all the congregation of Jerusalem to keep the Passover in the second month, for they could not keep it at that time because the priests had not sanctified themselves sufficiently, neither had the people gathered themselves together to Jerusalem. And the thing pleased the king and all the congregation. So they established a decree to make a proclamation throughout all Israel, from Beersheba even unto Dan, that they should come to keep the Passover unto the Lord, of God of Israel, at Jerusalem. For they had not done it of a long time in such sort as was written. So the posts went with the letters from the king and all his princes throughout all Israel and Judah, and according to the commandment of the king, saying, Ye children of Israel, turn again unto the Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, and he will return to the remnant of you that are escaped out of the hand of the king of Assyria, and be not like your fathers and like your brethren, which trespassed against the Lord of their fathers, who therefore God gave them up as to desolation, as ye see. Now be ye not stiff-necked as your fathers were, but yield yourselves unto the Lord and enter into his sanctuary, which he hath sanctified forever, and serve the Lord your God, that the fierceness of his wrath may turn away from you. For if ye turn again to the Lord, your brethren and your children shall find compassion before them that lead them captive, so that they shall come again into this land. For the Lord your God is gracious and merciful, and will not turn away his face from you if ye return unto him." So the post passed from city to city throughout the country of Ephraim and Manasseh, even to Zebulun. But they laughed him to scorn and mocked them. They laughed them to scorn and mocked them. Listen, Hezekiah sets up and he starts, and he has this vision to serve the Lord. He opens the house of the Lord up. He starts getting it repaired. He starts cleaning all the junk that's out of the house. Hey, that's a good place to start if you want to do something for the Lord. Amen? Open the doors of your heart and start cleaning out all the junk that doesn't belong there. Right? And he sets that whole thing up, and he gets excited, and he starts this revival. He wants to hold a Passover, and he's so thrilled about it. Listen, he can't help but tell all of his friends. He can't help but tell all of his family. He can't help but tell everybody around in his nation. He invites them all in. Hey, come on in. Let's enjoy this. Let's have a good time praising the Lord. Listen, if we do this, the Lord God just may very well bless us instead of curse us. That's a good thing. It is good to have leaders that have that mindset. All too often, and even in our country, we don't. But it's good when you have a leader anywhere up along the chain of command. Wives, it's good when your husband has that mindset. Children, it's good when your parents have that mindset. Right? Dad, it's good when those folks that you look up to and get counsel from, it's good when they have that mindset. Because there's some things that can really happen and really change when you set your heart on serving the Lord. But a lot of the people mocked him. Now you see that in our country an awful lot. You see a lot of folks mocking Christianity. You see a lot of, I mean, if you pay attention to the news and read articles, you see time and time and time again, people mocking and rejecting and turning away from following the very God that can help them out of the trouble they're in. And folks, they don't even realize it. You know what the blessing about understanding a little bit about the Bible and knowing our God like we do, the blessing is, you know what? We realize where those blessings come from. Now, we may not always make the right decisions. We may, you know, flub it up every now and then, but we know where the blessings are. I know where to go to find the blessings of God. I know what to stay away from. A lot of people don't. Or they don't care. But people often get taken captive by the devil at his will. And they make some big mistakes in life. Listen, you and I as Christians, we need to be ever vigilant. Because what the Lord wants out of us is for us to act like a Hezekiah. Amen? Amen? The Lord's just looking to bless His people. He's just looking to be merciful and gracious. He's just waiting for someone to stand up and play the part. He's waiting for someone to make a good decision. And the Lord is just, the Lord's not up there waiting to hit you over the head with a bat. Now, He will if it's necessary. Amen. And He's got a big bat. But it doesn't mean that's His first choice of action. If that was the case, we'd all have flat heads, right? Listen, as Christians, we need to be ever vigilant because there's no telling what might happen if the Lord gets a hold of our heart. And we set out to open the doors of the temple of the Lord. Clean out what's out, should be out of there. Set up and start worshiping Him like we ought to worship Him. There's no telling what kind of wrath we can avoid just by simply choosing to do right. And we need to be vigilant because the devil is out there to thwart you and to stop you every single step of the way. And parents, even more so for you, the devil would love to get a hold of your kids. We're not going to talk about it an awful lot this morning because I don't have time to get into all the kings and everything. But Hezekiah's son wound up being a mess. What a shame. The devil got a hold of Hezekiah's son even after Hezekiah did all that he did. Once again, you know what we find? It's not up to our parents. It's not up to our children. It's up to us on how we serve the Lord. Amen. It's our decision. Right? We can't blame not serving God because something that happened 10 years ago with our family or at work or those sort of things. Listen, the Lord, it affects you, yes, but the Lord holds you responsible as an individual. And as an individual, you can be successful. As an individual, you can serve the Lord regardless of what your parents or, quite frankly, your children do. Amen? I mean, the Lord's after us. Hezekiah did not have a good role model growing up, and we will look at that a little bit. So I'd like to preach this morning just a little bit on some things that you don't mess with. Some things you don't mess with. And this introduction took way longer than I anticipated, so I will try to hurry. Some things that you don't mess with. Now, I understand, as we live our Christian lives, every once in a while, oops happens. Amen? I get that, right? When we're talking about things you don't mess with, I understand each and every one of us sometimes is faced with some things that we struggle with or we fall along the way. I mean, how was your week? Any oopses last week? They happen on regular occasion, right? And so you need to understand that. You need to be able to deal with it. But there's some things, brethren, there's some things that we don't want to mess with. there's some things that you don't want to have happen as an oops, especially on a regular basis. And one of them is very simply this. One of them is pagan practices. Now let's go back to 2 Chronicles chapter 28. We'll take a look at Hezekiah's dad here for a second. Hezekiah's dad. I told you, Hezekiah was brought up in a home, in a place, listen, where God was not worshipped the way God should be worshipped. Hezekiah's dad, King Ahaz, was a wreck. If you look at it, 28:1, and Ahaz was 20 years old when he began to reign. And he reigned 16 years in Jerusalem, but did not that which was right in the sight of the Lord, like David his father. For he walked in the ways of the kings of Israel, and made also molten images to Balaam. Moreover, he burnt incense in the valley of the south of Hinnom, and burnt his children in the fire, after the abominations of the heathen whom the Lord had cast out before the children of Israel. He sacrificed also and burnt incense in the high places and on the hills and under every green tree. Wherefore the Lord his God delivereth him into the hand of the king of Syria, and they smote him and carried away a great multitude of them captives and brought them to Damascus. And he was also delivered into the hand of the king of Israel, who smote him with a great slaughter. Not only did the heathen nations around him start taking him and his people captive, but the nation of Israel up to the north started messing with him. And for Pekah, the son of Remaliah, slew in Judah 120,000 in one day. This is Hezekiah's dad had this happen during his reign. He lost 120,000 of his people in one day from Pekah, the son of Remaliah, who was king of Israel, which were all valiant men because they had forsaken the Lord their fathers. And Zichri, a mighty man of Ephraim, slew Manasseh, the king's son. And look it down at verse 8. The children of Israel carried away captive of their brethren 200,000 women, sons, and daughters, and took away much spoil from them, and brought the spoil to Samaria. This is what Hezekiah grew up in his family. The Bible says, "For the Lord hath brought Judah low," in verse 19, "because of Ahaz, king of Israel, and made Judah naked, and transgressed sore against the Lord. And Tiglath-Pileser, king of Assyria, came unto him and distressed him, but strengthened him not." Listen, one of the things that you and I ought to avoid is what King Ahaz fell into, and that is worshiping and false gods and falling into pagan practices. Listen, you wouldn't think of this as the king of Judah, but this guy winds up burning his children in the fire, human sacrifice, to appease some foreign god. Now stop and think about that. That was Hezekiah's brothers and sisters. This is what Hezekiah grew up with. King Ahaz, he forsakes the Lord altogether. He starts adopting the pagan practices. Listen, he starts bringing in things that the bad kings of Israel up north have been bringing in, and he starts following all these practices. You know what? I tell you, there's some things that really, really bother me, and some things that you ought to stay away from. There's just some things you don't mess with, right? You don't mess with a man's dog. You don't mess with a man's wife. You don't mess with a mama and her children. You don't mess with pagan idolatry. Listen, you don't mess with horoscopes. You don't mess with tarot cards. You don't mess at the fair going and having your fortune told. There are some things that the Lord is just not very pleased with, and some of those things are messing with spiritual entities that are above our pay grade that we have no business messing with. And that's what Ahaz got into. He started setting up idols to Balaam and worshiping false gods. Next thing you know, one thing leads to another. And before you know it, King Ahaz is sacrificing his children in the fire. There's just some things, brethren, you and I shouldn't mess with. I got to thinking about, you know, all the different things that influence our lives and all the different things that are, you know, forced on us from the world in the name of fun and games. And I don't know if you remember back in the 80s when Dungeons and Dragons became a real big thing. I don't even know if it's still around, but it probably is. And I remember I was in the military and we had, my wife and I had some friends of ours, a couple, you know, we were both young couples and married, and we'd get together and have dinner, and they got really into this Dungeons and Dragons things, and they invited over, and I had no clue what it was, and I really wasn't going to church all that much, and we started going over, and we were asking, and they started explaining what this whole thing was about. And even back then, quite frankly, even not going to church, my wife and I were like, that's kind of weird. And we watched as they got into it further and further and further. And brethren, it consumed them. Talking about building these characters and gaining this power and, you know, being able to battle and fight the enemies. And the more of these wicked things that I acquire for myself, the stronger I become, the better I am, and the more I can win and achieve success. You remember that game, Dungeons and Dragons? Well, let me ask you this. Isn't Pokemon nowadays about the same thing? Doesn't it wind up really being the same thing? I don't know a lot about it. Again, I don't even like messing with that stuff. I don't even like reading the horoscope for a joke. I just kind of make it a common principle and practice that, oh, I just stay away from it. Why? Because I don't even want to go there. You know, parents, the devil is out to get your kids and to take them and snatch them from you. And listen, he will use games. Do you know what games your kids are playing? Because there are some of them out there that probably, brethren, just not a good thing, right? And you know who it preys on the most? Think about this. It preys on the most those kids that are a little bit, maybe they feel a little out of place. Maybe they're a little weak. Maybe they're not the most popular. And you know what the draw is for that? The draw is they start looking at this and they can build their character. And they can make themselves stronger. And I can be something. It's not real, but that's how they think. And the devil is so slick. What does the devil do? He gets it. You know, when a lion hunts, what do? They look for the weak ones sitting out on the side of the herd, right? The ones that are maybe a little slower, maybe a little injured. Maybe they have, maybe they've been bitten before and their leg doesn't work quite right. And they look for something that's easy prey. The devil does that. You know what you have to be careful of with your kids? Especially if they're struggling with peer pressure. Especially if they're struggling with trying to find their own identity. You have to be careful because the devil will give them something like that and it'll make them think that they're really something. And they'll start building this thing up and they'll think, ho, look at me, I achieved level 457. I don't know if there is such a thing. But listen, Ahaz started down that road as king of Israel, and the next thing you know, he's offering his kids as a burnt sacrifice to pagan gods. You say, I would never do that. Probably not. But the devil's got his own list of things that he'd like to trap you with. Amen? And listen, one of the things that you see that's consistent throughout the Bible is you and I have to stay away from those pagan practices. Why? Because the devil is far more cunning and crafty and sinister than you and I are. He's much smarter. He is much stronger. And he will take you captive at his will. And he uses that stuff to entice you. Parents, he uses that stuff to entice your children, to get them off in what he wants them to do so that he can take them captive. And while Hezekiah did okay and Hezekiah did some great things for the Lord, Hezekiah was, you know, one of the great kings in Israel. His son was a wreck. I learned from that, even if I come out of a bad family, I can be something great for God. But I also learned, even if I'm something great for God, I have to watch because the devil will be after my kids. Amen? The devil will not only be after me, the devil will be after my kids. I have heard stories of that whole Pokemon thing, just going rampant through churches. I don't want anything to do with it. I don't know if it's true. I heard some of the kids, they carry around some of the cards in their pocket because it gives them extra power. Really? Really? What's the difference between that and the St. Christopher's medal on your rearview mirror? You think that thing's going to keep you from an accident? No. Probably get you in one if you're looking at it instead of paying attention to the road. Listen, the devil entices people with this power thing. And you, one of the things that you just don't want to mess with, as a Christian, there's some things that we just don't want to mess with. We don't want to mess with those pagan practices. Why? What have you got to gain from it? Tell me that. What are you going to gain from it when it comes to your spiritual well-being? I can sure tell you what you have to risk and lose from it. I sure know where King Ahaz wound up, sacrificing his own kids to the fire. You say, I would never sacrifice my kids to the fire. Oh, you may not take them out and throw them in a volcano. But what do you throw them into? I mean, there's some things that can burn you a lot more than just fire. You got to be careful. Again, just some things. There's some things that you don't mess with. Why? It's just not wise to get in between a mama bear and her cubs. You're just asking for trouble. You say, I'm strong, I can handle it. The devil gets those kind of people with pride. And maybe they're not as easy to pick off as the weaker ones, but they can still be picked off. What's the solution? The solution is you don't mess with it. Hezekiah got things going, and what he did is he ripped all that stuff down that his father put up. He ripped all those idols away. He smashed them up, threw them in the Brook Kedron. I don't even know how much metal the Brook Kedron has in it, but it's got all kinds of idols that have been ground up and thrown in there over the years. Because time and time again, any king that did right would tear all the idols down, mash them up, and throw them in the Brook Kedron. I wonder if any scuba divers ever went there looking for gold. But you know what he did? He got rid of all that stuff. Why? Because the devil wants to use it to get a hold of you. It's deceptive. It is deceptive. Listen, not only did King Ahaz go through this whole problem with these idols and get to the point where he burned his own children in the fire, which was a real dumb thing to do. But King Hezekiah not only did he fall prey to pagan practices, listen, he got duped by false friends. Say, what do you want to stay away from? You want to stay away from pagan practices. Why? Listen, brethren, there's nothing good that comes out of them. There is dangers lurking there that you can't even imagine. Parents, you got to watch that stuff. You have to be vigilant and careful. Know what your kids are doing. Know what games they're playing. Listen, understand some of that stuff. Why? Because to them it's just a game. They don't know any better yet. I mean, how many of you have stood up and had to fight, spiritual battles, right? With sword and, right? It doesn't happen very often. You think your kids understand the spiritual implications of some of that stuff? It's just fun. And that's the deceptive part about it. There's some things you don't mess with. You don't mess with the pagan practices. Listen, you don't mess with false friends. King Ahaz is in this whole downward slide, falling away from God, turning back from God, closing up the house of the Lord. He's actually got the door shut. He's just turned his back on it. It's so bad. Next thing you know, the Lord starts dealing with him. and the king of Assyria, Tiglath-Pileser, he comes against the king of Judah. And what the king of Judah does, what Ahaz does, is he starts taking all this money and all this gold, and he steals all the stuff from the house of the Lord that he can take, and he buys off the king of Assyria. He pays him, says, "Here, help me out. I'm in trouble. I'm in distress." And we read a little bit earlier in there. I won't take time to go over it again, but we read, what did that friend do for him? Nothing. He didn't come help him. So here's King Ahaz. He's fallen into these pagan practices. Now he's got himself in a mess. Now his people are being taken captive. He's losing battles. Now he tries to team up with somebody that he thinks is going to help him, somebody that's going to be his friend. And he goes to the king of Assyria. And he pays him all this money and all this gold from the house of the Lord, only to have his friend, this new friend that he has, turn his back on him. What do you stay away from, brethren? There's some things that you don't mess with. You don't mess with those pagan practices. That stuff it's spiritually, it's a train wreck waiting to happen. And you know what else you don't mess with spiritually? You don't mess with false friends. You know, you go out and you meet people and you think, "Oh, they're my friend. They're going to help me. Oh, look at how good this person is." And when push comes to shove, brethren, all they're doing is they're taking everything you got and they're not going to be there for you. You say, "My friends would never forsake me." Spiritually, they will. Spiritually, they will. There's some things you don't mess with. You got to be careful with your friends. Because when push comes to shove and spiritual things start happening, listen, your friends will turn around and forsake you. That's what happened to King Ahaz. Right? You got to be careful. Tiglath-Pileser took all his money, and then when Ahaz needed help, he turned around and left. Not only that, it was Assyria that was going to wind up taking a bunch of the Jews from Israel captive. Not only did he not help him, but the next king after him wound up taking Israel captive. See, there's some things, brethren, that as Christians, you and I ought to learn. There's just some things that we don't mess with. You don't mess with a man's wife. You don't mess with a man's dog. You don't mess with a mama and her kids, right? You don't mess with some of these pagan practices. That's why, honestly, that's why I kind of really, 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 really get nervous around Christmas and Easter. Because I struggle with, there's just some of that stuff I don't want anything to do with it. Thanks, I'll pass. Right? And I get it. Not everyone looks at it the same way, but there's some things there that you just stay away from. Right? Some of these games and stuff that come out, some of these, you know, some of these movies, some of these things that you look at them and you go, "This is just not good." Ahaz didn't pay any attention to that. He embraced it. Next thing you know, he's throwing his kids to the fire. Next thing you know, he's hanging around with friends and searching for help from people that are out to destroy him and his people. Think about that for a while. King Ahaz, because he was following the wrong thing spiritually, actually wound up giving money to the very people that were out to destroy him and his people. And he was just grabbing for help. King Ahaz got to the point where things were crumbling around him. His life was falling apart. Things were a mess. His people were in distress. And he didn't even know where to go to get help. That's how bad King Ahaz actually got. This is Hezekiah's father. This is what Hezekiah grew up with. Hezekiah got to grow up and watch his dad go through all of this stuff, see his dad make all of these mistakes, and it would have been very easy for Hezekiah to follow in his father's footsteps that way. But he didn't. You know what Hezekiah learned? Hezekiah learned, you know what? There are just some things that you don't mess with. There are some things that my father did that I don't mess with. There are some friends that my father tried to associate with that I just don't mess with. And the Lord blessed him for that. The Lord blessed him for that. What an amazing thing. It says there in 2 Chronicles 28:22, and in the time of his distress, talking about King Ahaz, did he trespass yet more against the Lord? See, Ahaz didn't take heed to these warnings. Ahaz messed with the things he shouldn't have been messing with. And when the chips fell, Ahaz had nowhere to turn. Right? Ahaz had nowhere to turn. Listen, a mistake repeated more than once is a decision. Think about that for a little while. Think about that. I did this last time. Oops. Okay. Right? Give yourself one good swift kick in the butt and then carry on with life. When you do it the second time, it's not a oops anymore. Ahaz made this a consistent pattern. You know what Ahaz would have done? He would have went from one game to the next, to the next, to the next. Ahaz would have been involved in Dungeons and Dragons and Pokemon, any other thing you can, contrary to sound doctrine. It was a decision for him. There's some things, brethren, as Christians, that we shouldn't mess with. Just some things that we shouldn't mess with. I thought this was pretty good. Nobody ever wants advice. They just want to vent about their bad decisions before they go back and repeat them. How often have you found that to be true? Brethren, the point is, again, I look at this father-son combination. And I look at, when I read through this and I see there's just some things that I don't want to mess with. Right? Pagan practices is one. False friends is another. And you go a little bit further, turn to chapter 32. Hezekiah is now king. And for the sake of time, I'm going to have to hurry. But if you look in verse 1, then came Sennacherib, the king of Assyria. He obviously took over. And he entered into Judah and he camped against the fenced cities and thought to win them for himself. When Hezekiah saw Sennacherib was come and that he was purposed to fight against Jerusalem, he took counsel with his princes, with his mighty men to stop the waters and the fountains which were without the city. And they did help him. Verse 5, he strengthened himself and built up the wall that was broken and raised it up to the towers and another wall without and repaired Milo and the city of David and made darts and shields in abundance. And he told his people in verse 7, be strong and courageous, be not afraid nor dismayed for the king of Assyria, nor for all the multitude that is with him, for there be more with us than with him. With him is an arm of flesh, but with us is the Lord our God to help us and to fight our battles. And the people rested themselves upon the words of Hezekiah, king of Judah. So so Sennacherib sends his henchmen in. And you read about this in Kings and here in 2 Chronicles, which is where we're at. You look at verse 10. Thus saith Sennacherib, the king of Assyria. This is, I think it's Rabshakeh, one of Sennacherib's generals probably. Whereon do ye trust that ye abide the siege in Jerusalem? Doth not Hezekiah persuade you to give over yourself to die by famine and thirst, saying, the Lord our God shall deliver us out of the hand of the king of Assyria? So get this. The Hezekiah has now stood up. He's done right. He's watched his dad make a wreck of things, and now he's doing completely different. The king of Assyria has gone away, and now he's come back, and he's laying siege on Jerusalem. And Hezekiah is standing up as the king, and he's being faced with this battle where his people are about ready to be taken over. And he's got a multitude out there, and he stands up and tells his people, be courageous. Those that be with us are more than those that be with them. He may have an arm of flesh, but we have the Lord our God. Hezekiah's faith is being put to the test here, and he stands up. And these generals from Syria, they come in, and they start mocking God. They start mocking God's glory. They set out beside the wall, and the children of Israel, of Judah, they're in Jerusalem behind the walls, and they're afraid. They're sitting there waiting, and they're being attacked. They're surrounded, and these generals come up to the side of the walls where all the army are, and they start yelling at them. Right? Hey, what are you doing up there? Ha 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 ha! You think your God's going to save you? Ah, your God's nothing. Your God can't save you. Look at all the other gods we've whooped around here. Your God is no different. We're going to take you down and we're going to wipe you out. Listen, you guys are dust. And they start bantering back and forth. And the king of Assyria, his men start degrading the God of Israel. Brethren, there's some things you just don't do. Amen. There's some things you just don't want to mess with. And I'm telling you, the glory of God and God's honor and God's integrity and God's strength is one of those things that we don't want to mess with. I mean, stay away from pagan practices. Absolutely. Right. Stay away from false friends. Yes. But brethren, you don't want to doubt God's strength. You don't want to doubt God's glory, God's honor. And these captains of from the Assyrian army, they stand up and they start mocking. And they're railing on the God of Israel. Take a look here real quick with just a couple of examples. Doth not Hezekiah persuade you to give over yourselves to die by famine and thirst? Your king is just lying to you. He's just going to get you there and you're just going to die of famine. Brethren, listen. When people start mocking the Lord Jesus Christ and Christianity in this world today, you and I are the ones in the city, behind the walls. Hopefully there's a King Hezekiah telling us to be strong and be courageous. But the world is out there mocking us, trying to tell us that our God is not worth serving. It's all a hoax. That's what's going on. That's what's going on in the world today. Right? Hath not this same Hezekiah, verse 12, taken away his high places and altars and commanded Judah and Jerusalem, saying, ye shall worship before one altar and burn incense upon it? They're mocking him. Listen, your king took away all your gods. He's pretty selfish. He only wants you to do it his way. It's his way or the highway. Why are you following somebody like that? He thinks he's right and everybody else is wrong. He thinks he's got the only way to get to God. He got rid of all the other ones. Why would you follow somebody like that? Why would you go to a church? Why would you have a Christianity that thinks they're right and everybody else is wrong? That's the devil attacking. Amen. Right? That's the devil bringing doubt upon your God. Don't fall for it. Don't fall for it. Look at verse 14. Who was there among all the gods of those nations that my fathers utterly destroyed that could deliver his people out of my hand, that your God should be able to deliver you out of my hand? People are going to come to you and the world is going to come against Christianity and say that our God is not able to suffice when you need him. And they'll hold up somebody that's fallen and say, see, they're just as bad as everybody else. Don't fall for it. There's some things, brethren, that you just don't want to mess with. Amen. And I'm telling you, God's integrity, God's glory is one of those things. Right? Verse 15, "Now therefore let not Hezekiah deceive you, nor persuade you on this manner, neither believe him, for no God of any nation or kingdom was able to deliver his people out of my hand, and out of the hand of my fathers. How much less shall your God deliver you out of my hands?" You get to the workplace and people start talking about Christianity being weak. You get around family, friends, acquaintances, neighbors, whatever, and they start talking about Christianity being, you know, for the simple, the uneducated. Listen, don't buy it. Don't buy it. There are some things you just don't mess with. And people bringing doubt about your God's glory and strength and power is one of those things, brethren, we just don't mess with. It's like getting between a mama bear and her cubs. You know why? Because the Lord is up there in heaven looking down at Rabshakeh and going, "You think so, buddy, huh? Wait a second. Have I got something for you? Go ahead. Shoot your mouth off a little bit. Just a little bit more. I got something planned for you. Go ahead. Just take another step. All right, it's time." Don't ever, ever think your God doesn't have things well in control. Hezekiah is back there behind the wall, and I'll grant you they're probably afraid. They're looking at a large army. And he says to his people, he says, "Be strong and courageous. For those that are with us are more than those that are with them." You know what the Lord wound up doing? The Lord wound up sending one angel down. Just one. If I remember right, wiped out 185,000 of his men. And he goes up, winds up, his army winds up going home with their tail tucked between their legs. There's some things, brethren, that as Christians you don't want to mess with. And one is when somebody stands up to mock your God or bring question about your God's ability to deliver you, don't give it a second thought. Right?
Amen.
What did Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego say when they were in the fire? When he told the king, "Our God is able to deliver us. But if he doesn't, let it be known, I will not bow down and worship you."
Amen.
"Our God is perfectly capable of delivering us. But if for whatever reason he decides not to, that's his decision. But either way, I'm not bowing down and worshiping that image." There are some things, brethren, you just don't mess with. And God's glory and God's integrity is one of them. God will sustain you. And somebody may be loud and boisterous and standing outside the wall and be railing about your Christianity and railing about your faith and calling you a Bible thumper and calling you all these strange things. And you may be tempted to be a little afraid of it and shy away. But listen, don't be afraid. The Lord's sitting up there going, "Oh, let's see. You, just one angel, go take care of him." Comes down, 185,000 of them are wiped out. One angel. Listen, you don't mess with God's glory. I don't know if you've been following the UN, but you know how contrary the UN is to the nation of Israel, right? Well, we got this new ambassador who's got some guts. All right? Nikki Haley, right? I think she was the governor of South Carolina, right? So she's now the UN, ambassador of the UN. She goes into the UN, brethren, and they pass this resolution basically calling Israel, accusing them of in essence, genocide. Right? War crimes, that kind of thing. She goes in and basically just completely flips things around and has the UN General Secretary throw that report out. The lady that wrote it wound up resigning because of it. Somebody at last stood up for the nation of Israel.
Amen.
Right? I'm not saying she's, you know, on the same league with Hezekiah, but brethren, it is sure refreshing to see somebody stand up for God's people. It is sure refreshing to see somebody take a stand for God's people and not be afraid. The Lord can use any one of us like he used Hezekiah. There's just some things we have to stay away from. There's just some things we don't mess with if we're going to be used like that. I'm thankful she had enough guts to do that. I'm thankful she had the backing from her superiors to do that. Who was there among all of the gods of those nations that my fathers utterly destroyed that could deliver his people out of mine hand, he said, that your God should be able to deliver you out of my hand? You know what the fallacy in that statement is? Well, there's two. Number one, all those other gods were nothing to begin with. And number two, he doesn't know who he's talking about. The Lord Jesus Christ died on Calvary's cross, and brethren, that is a God to contend with. You don't want to mess with his glory. Stand up for him. Be a Hezekiah. Hezekiah came from a background, his own father kicked the God of Israel out of the nation, made false images, worshipped him. Even when he got dealt with, wouldn't repent, burned his own sons in the fire to false gods. That's how Hezekiah grew up. That's the family he grew up in. And look how he turned out. Right? Any one of us can do it. There are just some things, brethren, that we don't mess with. I gotta get done here. There's just some things, brethren, that we don't mess with. Pagan practices, you got to watch. Don't get caught up in that stuff. Be careful. Be careful. You say, it's fun. It's a game. I get it. But it's a way the devil can use to get to you. And you're called to be on guard. False friends, watch out who you depend upon. Because the devil's got somebody there, you can give him everything you have, and they'll turn their back on you and run in time of trouble. And brethren, one of the things that we don't mess with is God's glory.
Amen.
Right? One of the things, don't ever be afraid. Somebody starts mocking God. Don't ever be afraid to stand up for God's glory.
Amen.
You say, I don't want to cause division. You're not the one that caused it. Right? You're not the one that caused it. But as Christians, there's just some things we don't mess with. You don't mess with a man's wife. You don't mess with a man's dog. You don't mess with a mama and her children. And brethren, you don't mess with those things there either. Amen? You don't mess with those things. It's just not wise. Let's bow our head for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you again for everything that you've done. Lord, I appreciate these folks taking time out of their schedule to be here. I do pray that you would strengthen us. Father, we see something amazing in this young king, Hezekiah, who even though he was raised up with a lot of bad influences, a lot of bad examples, yet, Father, you were able to get a hold of his heart and turn him into one of the greatest kings of Israel. Father, I do pray that you would help us to emulate that, that you would give us the courage that he had, give us the faith and the strength that he had. Help us, Father, in these last days to stand up, to stay away from some things that we shouldn't mess with, and to stay strong for our God like Hezekiah stayed strong. I pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.